yesterday we ran out of the recording. So we're going to talk. We are talking about what it means to cut a covenant, or what a covenant is in the Bible. And we talked about the laying down of the animals and cutting them in half and walking through the blood. And after they walk through the blood, then they put their hand, their right hand, so that blood was flowing a little bit. And then they shook hands on it, so their blood mixed, and that's where we get the idea of shaking hands as greetings. And then they raised their arm, the right hand, so the blood dropped on the ground. Well, they did that before they shook hands. And that's how we people raise their right hand and when they swear an oath in the courts or whatever. And so all those came from this idea of cutting the covenant. And we're going to talk about it in more detail and what a covenant is today. The whole idea, scripturally, you can't call anyone else a friend except the one that you've cut that covenant with. And anyhow, that's enough of a review, I think. And you had homework, Miss.
Well, Omar, what you're saying now, you're saying that you can't call anyone friend unless there's blood involved.
No, I'm saying that's what...
A covenant?
That's what they...
They said.
You could, it wasn't just in the, this was all ancient culture, still some of them today. Anyway, what was your homework? I forgot.
I read that over and he said henceforth, which means from now on, but.
Well, what was the scripture? I forgot.
John 15:15.
No. What did it say? What was the exact words of the scripture that you were asking about?
From henceforth, I shall call you friends.
Right. I shall no more call you disciples, but friends.
Servants.
Servants.
Servants. Yeah. And in that 15, it also talks about. When you're going to be disciples. It talks about a lot of things like that. I really don't know when the exact moment. Your question to me was, when did that start? When did that begin for them? All I can come up with is he said henceforth, but he did give us, he said something that if you do what he commands you, it says it very specifically, you are friends or...
Well, I shall no more call you servants, but friends, because I've told you all things.
All things.
So that was the issue of why then they weren't students anymore, they were friends. That's the whole mystery of it. But that doesn't really relate to this, I don't think. All right. And Proverbs said a friend sticks closer than a brother. So that's where we get that idea too. All right, the covenant is the word berith in Hebrew. And it literally means to cut. It's B-E-R-I-T-H in the phonetic spelling. It's the Hebrew definition. It's a binding agreement or an agreement to cut a covenant by the shedding of blood. In the world of the patriarchs, covenants were always cut, and the blood was released as a sign of signification of the covenant. And that's, to me, that's really important. But this whole idea, huh?
Well, I was thinking more about what Nilda brought up yesterday about... No longer call you servants, but friends.
That's what we just talked about.
Right. And I've got to have some more to say about it. Huh? That's why I was going to speak up. Because you do what I command you is part of what he said, and also because I've made known everything I've got to you, which is, it directly ties in with what we were talking about yesterday about breaking one law and being guilty of the whole law, and the blood being related. We're related to Christ, God somehow now. Anyway, in my mind, it seems to directly relate.
All right.
Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. Anyway.
Okay. We're going to move on from that. Then. Go to Genesis 1. Verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Now, image, as we've talked about a thousand times, is tselem, T-S-E-L-E-M. But likeness is demuth. The phonetic spelling is D-M-U-T-H. And it means, it's what predicted Christ, because it means the exact duplicate. So we were created to contain deity. And that's what you have to understand. And this is going to get important in a minute. And so you've never been an independent self. You've always been a man, has always been a vessel for deity, even from the beginning. Now, the point is here. I don't want to go into that. First, ignore me. And God said, "Let us make Adam." Adam means of blood. In our image, or shadow, or form, in the likeness, exact duplicate. So God created Adam. And God formed Adam of the dust. Dust is aphor, A-P-H-A-R, and it's a small particles. And it's of the ground. And again, the ground is, the word is, of the ground is Adama, referring to the blood. So what it says is the image was created by the blood of God. And the Lord God formed man, Adam, of the dust, the asfar, the small particles of the ground, Adama. So the idea, it's hard for us to understand this, but the universe was created by the blood of God. Creation formed from blood of God. Now when man sinned, in the garden, something happened to his blood. And again, in 1 Corinthians, it says the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, this is why that there had to be a virgin birth, because the blood, the creation had fallen, and so there had to be a different. It's hard for us to believe that even the ground was. I've said many times that we can't possibly understand how the universe changed after the fall. The fall was such a dramatic change of the universe that I'm not going to get on that today. But a quickening spirit was one that gives life to the dead. You were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now how... Oh, I thought you said something. What does the blood say about us if we believe it? We're according to Ephesians 1, verse 7, we were redeemed and forgiven. According to Romans 5, 9, we were justified. According to Hebrews 13, we were sanctified. According to 1 John 1, 7, we were cleansed. Revelation says we were washed in the blood. Colossians 1 is the only way we have peace is because of the blood. We were made perfect to do His will by the blood. And that's why our conscience has to be purged from dead works. Now the only battlefield then is the mind, because the blood of Christ fixed everything else. Now this is why it's so hard for us to believe that we must abandon our mind. We must abandon ourselves. Because the mind wasn't redeemed. It couldn't be redeemed because it was fallen. Let's go to Leviticus 17. Verse 10. We're going to read 10 and 11. 10, 11, and 12. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and I will cut him off from among the people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now something mysterious is going on with this blood. Now, in the real function of blood wasn't understood or known until William Harvey in, 16-something. But from the earliest times, a singular mystery has been attached to all people. The blood rites, the blood feuds, the blood ceremonies were common to all primitive people. It was recognized as life principle intuitively. There was always fear and awe and reverence attached to the shedding of blood. Now, maybe you didn't do it, but I did with my friend David when I was 5 or 6 years old. we both cut our hands, our right hand, and shook hands. Did anybody else do that, or was it I just weird?
Okay. We used ketchup.
Huh?
We used ketchup.
You really did?
Yes. We used ketchup. We're going to cut ourselves.
What's...
I was in the
but
third grade.
You shook hands with somebody? With
ketchup sisters. Really?
That has to be. That explains a lot, Rex.
I was in third grade.
It's still pretty, it's still amazing that you use something red to shake your hand.
Well, we knew it was supposed to be blood, but we were chicken to cut ourselves.
Yeah. We never knew about the blood. Shaking.
That's pretty good.
It is, isn't it? I think
so. That's it.
You weren't as dumb as you and your friend Becky.
He and I are the ones that started the club in our treehouse. Anyway, I won't go into all that today.
I've heard things have changed now. Salsa is a number one.
Salsa, yeah.
Texas.
And that's one of the scriptures. Is ketchup shall be sacred. No, that's not right. But what is right is the meaning of the wine. Let's go to 1 John. You got me all screwed up with that ketchup business. No, I probably screwed up before that. Chapter 3. Even in the earliest times and in the New Testament, you weren't allowed to eat blood or drink blood or have any blood. But, and it was used to purification, to purify and cleansing only if it was from a clean animal in the sacrificial system. And apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But blood also, in terms of what it means to eat his, drink his blood and eat his flesh, that the blood then is in that context wine. Drinking wine and eating bread are also symbolic of the pledge of eternal friendship. So, no man cometh to me unless he, what is it? God, I'm not doing well.
Let's see, hey, is that the one?
No. But you don't, it's John 6, I think. Verse 53. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. So we're forbidden to eat blood of any kind, and now, even in ancient times, that was the meaning of why you drank wine, was it was always the blood of Christ is the mystery. And this is why in the culture, in the Norwegian culture, this is just disgusting, but one of the things that you always have at holidays, especially Christmas, was blood soup. And even as a child, I would not eat it. I would not even taste it. I got spanked for it, because it just seemed so totally and completely disgusting that my whole family, all my cousins and uncles and aunts, every Christmas had blood soup.
How did they do it, blood soup?
Well, it was blood. It was blood from the slaughtering of the animals that we had, and
after making sausage, when you drain the animal of the blood or something.
No, it was when you kill the animal, you drained it of its blood.
Right.
But that's when you cut the neck. I don't know what else was in it or what she did with it. I had no interest in finding out what else was in it, except that once I found out it was blood, I wasn't going to drink it.
Because in Puerto Rico, when they make the sausages, they slaughter the animal and they let him drip.
Yeah, well,
they hang him and then they make the blood sausages with that.
Yeah, I don't know about. Anyway, Matthew 6 says that the blood is also the juice of the grape. You know, that's, I want you to just, we've done this before, but I want you to, let's assume today that Jeff walked into the room and he told the Bible study, he said he would live forever. He said he had an inside view of heaven. He thought he was perfect. He seated all authority in himself, both in heaven and in earth. He taught that his death would redeem the whole world. And if you eat his body and drink his blood, you will live forever. And as he said, he was the only Son of God. Now, all those things are what Christ said. Now, can any of us, I mean, Jeff or me or any of us come in and said those things? I mean, we'd put him in a loony bin. So how, I mean, one of the reasons we're studying this is I want you to see how incredibly wild this mystery of Christ is. That you can start here now to see how they all crucify him. Isn't this strange to anybody else? Let me repeat it again. He said he would live forever. Said he had an inside view of heaven. That he came from God. He thought he was perfect. He seated all authority in himself, both in heaven and in earth. His death would redeem the whole world. If you eat his body and drink his blood, you will live forever. And he was the only child of God.
Let's see if any other human being would have said that, they would have let him go, like another loony that was in the street. They wouldn't have crucified him for that. But they saw, because they saw his words. It's different with him. He proved himself to be the Son of God. In saying those things, they chose to hate and ignore, but he proved himself. He wasn't any loony out of the street.
Well, no question. I agree. Yeah. I'm not quite, I know no, that I, he I wasn't mean, any loony, but I'm saying to you, that's part of the, this he proved himself, but how did he prove himself to everyone? He couldn't have. He proved himself to the ones that crucified him. But my point is, if he came today and repeated those, the whole world would crucify him again. I mean, they'd have thought he was nuts. Well, I am disjointed today. Can't get into the next part. It'll take too long. But I was just, excuse me for leaving for a minute. I was thinking about me as a child. 5 or 6 years old, cutting my hand, and my friend cut his hand, and we shook hands. I must have seen a movie or something, I can't even remember, or maybe David is the one that started it, but or maybe God did, just so that sometime I would know about him. But the point of it is that in cultures that grow up without, like a lot of the cultures in Mexico and Africa and South America, they do this blood business. I mean, the blood is mind-blowingly serious, and it's like something in all ancient cultures that I'm aware of had this understanding of the shedding of blood and the cutting of a contract. And it's, we just look at it and we think about it and, oh, that's interesting. But to understand what that covenant meant to God, we start maybe getting a little closer to what this mystery that we're about is. It's not just an add-on to our lives. It's a different life completely. And there's a shadow of that life in cultures, but it's anyhow. Any other thoughts? We're gonna wrap this one up tomorrow. But any other thoughts about blood and covenants? Take a big time.